And the greatest act a Christian can ever do is to lead a soul to Christ. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight and try to make it very practical. Acts chapter number 8, and we're going to skip around a little bit so you may remain seated. But notice the setting here, the word Acts. Help me, the book of Acts. It sounds like there would be a longer word, Acts. It's like a short word. What do you think the longer word would be? Action. And so the book of Acts is the church that Jesus started in action. So he told them what to do. Now they're doing it. And so sometimes you wonder, you say, Pastor, why am I going through what I'm going through? You ever ask yourself that? Why me? Why am I going through this? Notice the results here for a moment. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul, that was the enemy at this time, was consenting unto his death. They had just stoned one of the leaders in the church. And at that time, there was a great, what's the word there? You ready? Persecution, Acts 8, 1, that's where we are, against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions. Now stop here for a moment. Hope this never happens, but if police force or the judges or whatever busted into our building now and they grabbed one of our members and shot them and grabbed another one and shot them and said, we're going to kill all of you. How many of you may feel led to say, where is the closest exit? That's probably what I would be looking for, saying, how can I get out of here? And so that's what was happening. The people were being killed for being Christians, and so they scattered. They were grabbing their families. They wanted to live for the Lord, not die for him. But as they scattered, notice what happened. In verse number 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the what? The word. Verse 5, here's one of them. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. That's what soul winning is doing. It's not just talking about the church, it's talking about Jesus. And then verse 8, notice the results of his witnessing. And there was great, what? Joy in that city. And so soul winning or witnessing gives us joy. Now, look a little further down, please, in verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, notice who spoke to him. It says the angel of the Lord spoke to him. Okay? Verse 27, and he arose and went, so he obeyed. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, or Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was the secretary of treasury of his nation, was returning and sitting in his chariot, I'll put my words in here, just happened to be reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, let me ask you, when's the last time you've walked up to someone or met someone, and while you approached them, you noticed they were reading the Bible? It's kind of an odd thing. Very odd. I was out and about the last couple of days in Chico and Santa Clara and here. I didn't see one person reading their Bible. Not even Brother Johnson. He said, because he didn't have one. That's why. And so he's reading the Bible, and it says in verse 29. So the angel told him where to go, but now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is speaking to him. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said. So what's that mean? The Holy Spirit does speak to us. Someone said, well, how do you know he's speaking? It's usually not out loud. I've never heard God speak out loud. But it's a prompting. You ever have someone say this? They said, you know, you've really been on my mind a lot. Are you doing okay? Man, I've really been praying for you for some reason. That's the Holy Spirit prompting and saying, so-and-so's needing your help right now. Pray. And sometimes he will prompt us to give. Maybe you've seen a missionary come in, maybe someone needy in the church, and all of a sudden it's like, man, I bet they didn't have any money to eat Baptist buffet, or maybe this kid needed a little help for a camp. And it was God that maybe prompted you with an amount. and you gave. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He prompts us to pray, prompts us to give. Then he prompts us to witness. I don't know how many times I've been in restaurants and I've sat down to eat and someone inside of me said, I wonder if they're saved. I looked over, I said, don't you know? Kind of smart aleck. That was the Lord saying, I wonder who's going to witness to them. I don't know. Who is? I'm eating this hamburger. But you know it's the Lord when he does not leave you alone. We've had a neighbor on my heart that I've met and kind of broken the ice with. And last week I said, when can I come by and show you how to get saved? And so I got to make that appointment this afternoon. And he said, come on in. He got saved. That's the eighth neighbor we've had saved since we moved there. You ever wonder sometimes, well, why do we have to move out of this house? And why do we have to move to this neighborhood? God's maybe has a little neighborhood he's trying to reach. Well, why did I get laid off at that job? Now I'm in this job. Maybe there's a mission field there. God was trying to get you there. And so he uses this persecution. He said, when we get into the soul, we're almost there. But notice what he says a little further here in verse number 29. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to his chariot. And Philip said, I'll make an appointment. I'll come maybe some other time when I have time. I'm kind of busy. No, it said Philip ran. That's who God uses. Those who say, show me where to go. Show me who to talk to. I'm excited about it. He ran. And it said, he thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? And that's where we come in. Soul winners are the guides. Someone can read a Bible, but they're probably not going to get saved just reading the Bible. They may read a tract, but somehow they may not get it. We're the guide. We're saying that here's what you have to do. Yeah, let us fill in the blanks. That's what Philip was doing here. The guy's hungry. He's wanting to be saved, but he doesn't understand. Verse 31, and he said, how can I accept some man to guide me? Verse 32, the place of the scripture, my words, just so happened to be, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. He's talking about Jesus. He just happened to be reading the crucifixion in the Old Testament, the prophecy. God had all that laid out. He was hungry. He was searching. He happened to be right there, happened to have his Bible. He was reading the crucifixion, and Philip the soul winner showed up. I love this. It's what you would call a Holy Spirit appointment. Verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip, said, I pray thee, whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began, here's what we're to do, at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, the fellow must have got saved, because he said, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot, and it stood still. He got a little bowl of water and sprinkled him so they would not get wet because they did not have a baptistry robe. No, it said they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. So there it is right there. There's a eunuch in a chariot somewhere waiting on you. There's someone at work. There's a neighbor. There's a relative. There's someone you're going to meet. There's somebody who's been searching who's right there. But they just need a guide to say, let me finish the rest of this. That's all it is. So we're going to talk for a few moments on this, just the soul-winning cheat sheet. We're going to talk about this for a moment. Many years ago, I had talked to Tracy Ross, and I asked him, I said, Tracy, how long would it take you to train a new soul winner so they know what verses to use and what illustrations? He said about 6 months. I said, so that means someone gets saved and it's 6 months before any of their friends can hear how to get saved unless they come to church. He said, yeah, that's right. I said, there's got to be a better way. So the Lord gave us that little idea of what we call the cheat sheet. Many of you are familiar with it. Some of you are new. Let's find out. Anyone ever see someone cheating on a test? Grade school, high school, college, DMV? Nursing exam, barber exam. I don't know, you know, the different tests people have, but. And we're not confessing, you know, it wasn't us, but we saw someone. Anybody ever been like that? I've seen that. One dad, he asked his son, he said, "Son, you got an F on your report card." He said, "How close were you to a D?" He said, "About 3 seats away." So someone that cheats, simply all they do is write down the answers and hide them somewhere. Maybe they're under their desk, Anthony, I think it was you, and they just kept dropping their pencil, and they'd look under the desk and kept dropping their pencil, or maybe they got ink all over them. "I got to go to the bathroom," and they put out the paper towel with the answers on it. Or maybe like in our 8th grade English class, Miss Milligan, someone wrote all the answers to the exam on the chalkboard. She was oblivious to it. She walked out. She goes, "There'll be no cheating on this test. I'm going to keep my eyes on you the whole time." The answers were on the chalkboard. "Miss Milligan, yes. Can you move over a little that way?" "Well, sure, sure. Hi." It's ridiculous. So someone that cheats is just someone that doesn't remember all the answers. You know, there's some people, photographic memories. I think of Kurt Skelly, the preacher. I think of John Wilkerson. Can look at a paper one time, that's it. Meet you once, he knows your name, social security number, your kids' names, your grandparents' name, mother-in-law's name, maiden name. There's just some people, one look and that's it. Others, "For all have sinned." Okay, quote it. Let me look again. So do you have to have a great memory to lead someone to Christ? No. So that's why we tried to come up with that little soul winning cheat sheet that simply just slips in the back of the New Testament. So if you get lost or your mind goes blank, all you're doing is, quote, Christian cheating. And the second thing is, Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death." And because of that, the ink pen. No sinner is ever going to look and say, "Don't you know how to lead me to the Lord?" All you're doing is referring. Saw a little cartoon the other day. The surgeon had this guy all opened up on this operating table. And the surgeon said, "Can you Google surgery.com? We're not sure what we're supposed to do next." Soul winning cheat sheet. All you're doing is saying, "Now what's the next verse? What's the next illustration? Oh, and now my testimony?" Got it. You say, why would we have this? Now here's why. And we'll go through it in a moment. We have to be thorough. We have to be thorough. You cannot skip any parts of the gospel. Okay, illustration. You knock on a door. Here's the axe murderer. He's got this axe. And all of a sudden you say, if you died, oh, just pray this prayer. I've had people say, "Pastor, I took them all the way through the gospel and I forgot the cross and forgot to tell them Jesus died, but they got saved." No, they didn't get saved. You cannot leave the gospel out. You cannot leave sin out. There has to be those 4 major truths or they cannot be saved. They have to understand that. And so let's just go through this just a little bit. Before we shoot this up, first thing we want to do is, obviously, we talked about last week, just be able to put a track in their hand. Did we talk about this last night? Hey, did you get one of these? Did we do that here? Was anyone here or was it a drought last week? Anybody got a track on you? You got a track on you? All right, if you do, get it out. If you don't, that's fine. I do this all the time. I know you do it too. You can only pass out what you're carrying. We just want to carry tracks everywhere we go. We already talked about our pockets are portable track racks. If you ever miss an opportunity, sometimes you never get it back. Someone's walking by, hey. Now, there'll be some people who will not have time to listen. Some people will not, they're in the middle of something. But a 3-cent track, now it's in the door. Years ago, I think of a family, this man had died. And his family was out of town. They discovered that the dad had passed away for several days. They found his body in the house. I got a phone call and they said, "Did you know my dad? He lived on this street." I said, "No, I don't think I know him." They said, "Well, one of these was in the house." I said, well, I don't know him. Maybe someone from our church handed him one. They asked me to do the funeral. The entire family got saved. They were faithful members of this church for about 5 years before they moved away, because someone left a 3-cent tract that got in the house. It's powerful. Just so powerful. So important. Now, here's what I do. Do what you want to do. We have a lot of notes we got to cover real quick. Here we go. I'll do something like this. I'll say, hey, and it's got to be bending motion. It's got to be from elbow. It cannot be, hey. It's got to be a bend. If you have your arm in the cast, use the other hand. It's got to be with style. It's a, hey. And it's got to be a smile. It's got to be, hey, did you get one of these? Now, girls, if you're single, don't say, hey, baby boy. A little wink at the end. Hey, did you get one of these? Now, what that does, Jeff Rose, stand for a second, would you please? Okay, so here's what that kind of does. It gives you stalling time. When you do something like this, hey, did you get one of these? His eyes are now on the track. I've got time to walk over. Now I'm talking, we're out from the church, inviting everyone to the big church service, and guard is now down. But if you don't do that, if you're just walking, we're inviting people to church. Tense favorite. Well, you scared me. What do you mean? You just want to be able to just be able to pass by. Here, give something to read. Here's a maid at the motel. Here, give you something to read. Here, give you something to read. Just here. This is for you. Oh, this is for you. You said, well, what if they don't want it? They'll let you know. Sometimes you'll see them torn up, crumpled down the side. It's okay. It's 3 cents. It's okay. You just want to get good and fast at passing out tracts. Now, I don't put them on cars. I'll put them in bills. I'll hand them to people. If you had a restaurant, you put a tip with it. Don't leave the tract if you don't tip. Bad testimony. So put a tip in it, and not a little paper tract. Here's a tip for you, a fake $100 bill. No, they don't like that either. Then second, so once we do that, then you want to break the ice. Break the ice. We'll get to the notes in a moment. Break the ice. I-C-E. When I was a teenager, we were not taught this. We were just so tense. We would actually knock on the door. As soon as someone opened the door, we'd say, if you died today, would you go to heaven? They didn't even know who we were. No introduction, no church, no name, just if you died today. You want to learn to break the ice. Breaking the ice is getting to know them. I stands for introduction. So you want to always introduce yourself, not first name basis. I'm Mike. This is Ike. No. First and last name, where you're from. You say, well, they may not listen if they know we're from the Baptist church. They're not going to listen if you don't tell them who you are. Just Mike Ray. Steve Guzman, we're out inviting people to the Hopewell Baptist Church. We're out here tonight doing this. Introduction. Now, during that too, you want to find out some about them. Now, if they're busy and say, here, just give me that. Visit's over. For instance, at the end of your visit, if you don't know where they work, how long they've lived there, what their name is, maybe you did not break the ice. You ought to have a lot of little questions. Again, if they're busy, they're going to take the track, it's done. But if they're halfway open, it ought to be, yeah, we're just inviting folks. Yeah, well, we just moved here from Arizona. Really, what city? Phoenix. I know someone that lives in Phoenix. What do you do for a living? These your kids? How long y'all lived here? Wow. Any church? So you're asking, oh, you got a teenager? We got a teenager. Oh, Raider fan. We'll pray for you. My team lost too. And so that's what... Hey, you got a boat. Man, I love to fish. Our pastor loves to fish. Look. Oh, I see. Oh, you're part of the Masons. I've met some people who are Masons. You're just trying to get every little thing that you can. And so what hours? Oh, you work swing shift. Oh, I see. Wow. You're trying to pick up on everything. Everything that you can. You're looking at bumper stickers. You're looking at toys in the driveway. You're looking at Michoacan. Oh, you're from Michoacan. Yeah. When I first moved here, I thought the people here could not spell. They were from Michigan. And they couldn't spell. Michigan. And so, you're breaking the ice. I, introduction, you're breaking the ice. Where are you from? How long you been here? Where you at? Oh, military. Hey, I see the American flag. My dad's a vet. My dad was a vet. You in the military? I'm a vet. You've just taken all this in. Then the C, now you're transitioning to the church. So you've broken the ice, found out information about them. Well, you know, let us tell you about the church and give them information that pertains to them. So if they're 98 years of age, don't brag on the nursery. If it's a single guy, don't brag on his candy single mother's class. If they're retired, don't brag on the teen group. You just want to be able to, whoever they are, you're bragging on why they're going to enjoy it. They open the door and they got a piano. We got a piano. We got a choir. So now you're talking about the church. By the way, any church background? Well, I was Catholic. Wonderful. You're in the majority. 70% of the people that come to our church were born and raised Roman Catholic. You're going to fit right in. Really? I hate the Catholic Church. They do too. That's why they're at our church. You're going to love. Man, you just gear in on that. So now you're talking about the church. If it's a young little couple, we got a nursery, pagers, peace and quiet. We got several new couples classes starting up. There's something for you. You're going to love it. And let me just say this too. Sometimes they'll ask about clothing. The men never will. Men never say, what's the clothing attire? Guys could care less. But it's a big thing to ladies. So what about clothing? And I'll just be very humorous. I'll usually say, yes. What? It's required. No, I mean like, you know, dresses or pants. Yep. Dresses or pants. That's kind of what everybody wears. No, but, I mean, what am I supposed to wear? Whatever you want to, ma'am. It's fine. All kind of people dress different ways. Just come. See what we're doing? We're trying to just answer some questions so they want to come. I, introduction. C stands for, now we're transitioning. We're bragging on the what? Church. E, eternity. Now we're getting down to the question. They used to, I never had any icebreaker. I didn't know the person's name. Just won him to the Lord. What's his name? I don't know. Where's he from? I don't know. Married? Got kids? I don't know. I just showed up, gave him four verses, and got him to say some words after me. It's a whole package. When you are interested in them, you might get them interested in him. Slow down. We're not in a hurry. We're building lifetime commitments. I was at that house, the neighbor's house. We talked 20 minutes today before I ever said, oh, by the way, if you died today. Tell me about yourself. How'd you end up here? Where's your parents? How'd you end up an electrician? How'd you end up over here? Who's this? What's your background? Most people are very happy to talk about themselves. Have you noticed? Go on their accounts and social media. Man, their whole life is right there. I ate a cookie. The whole world. It was pretty good. The whole world. It's crazy. People love to talk. So listen a while. Ice. Break the ice. Introduction. Brag on the church quickly. Eternity. Now. The big reason we're out here in the rain tonight, it's not just to fill our building. We're usually full on Sunday. There's plenty of Baptists already. But we want everyone to go to heaven. Now the question. If you died today. You say, that's so elementary. I know. But we got to get good at this. If you died today, pause. Are you 100% sure? Pause. That you would go to heaven? Don't hurry it. If you die today, you're 100% sure you go to heaven? If you what? Die today? That's one word, die today? If you die today, What are you saying, son? If you die today, if you died, now, if it's a little old lady with an oxygen tank, an IV, don't torment her. Don't say, if you died today. And usually the rougher, or you could say the more outwardly sinful someone is, the less you have to deal with that. I've asked people, I've just said, if you died today, hell. I didn't even finish the sentence. They just said, hell. So Paul, let the thing sink in. You say, how come? We're wanting the person to be convicted and let God work on their life. Don't buzz through it. Kind of follow me here a little bit here? Better to win one person to Christ in 15 minutes, and when they leave, the pastor can come by and say, anything happened to you today? I got saved. Instead of two sweet teenagers prayed for me. So it's a big difference. Okay, let me rush someone through the gospel here. Cameron, why don't you just stand right there, okay? When I was a teenager, here, just come about right here. I did the best I could. I was sincere. We were given the Romans road, you know, the four verses, and it's kind of like, get with it. So it would be like this. Hey, how you doing? If you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If you died today, are you 100% sure you will go to heaven? Or not sure? Okay, look, there's four things you have to know. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Wages of sin is death. Gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You believe that? Look, God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for you, loves you. And then look, if you believe that, whosoever shall call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's true. God said if you ask him to save you, he'll save you here. Put your hand on the Bible. Say these words. Jesus, come in my heart.
Go ahead. Jesus, come in my heart.
Amen. God bless you. I'm going to see you in heaven. God bless you. Now help me. Did he just get saved? Was I sincere? Yeah, I was sincere. I did the best I could. Thank you. You can be seated. But I didn't make it clear. They have to have understanding. You ever have a school teacher that knew what they were talking about, but somehow nobody in the class knew what they were talking about? And the cotangent of this and the participial phrase and the conjunctive sentence is wonderful. So that's why we're looking into their eyes for response. One person at our church one time, and I'm just kind of laying it out because we have to get good at this. Pastor, I got the person all the way to the sinner's prayer and found out they didn't speak English. Oh. So you never found out their name, never found out where they lived, and you never asked any questions or were interested in them and never broke the ice. And see, that's when you learn all that. As you're breaking the ice, you know if they speak enough of your language for you to lead them to Christ or not. So again, soul winning is not just rushing through some verses and quick, repeat something after me. They have to understand. You with us here? Okay. Who's that? Who ever heard the gospel at some time in your life? Someone explained it to you, but it was like they understood it, but they didn't make me understand it. I was in church for 4 years and never understood how to get saved. We've just got to make it very simple. All right, let's look at our notes here and we'll kind of go here. It's been a long day. So much rain. So here we are. Soul winning cheat sheet. There's the question. And again, you can ask it a billion different ways. There's no way to lead someone to the Lord wrong, but there's better ways. I would not ask, oh, you're saved? Yeah, our boat flipped over when I was a kid and I got saved. Oh, you're converted? They don't know what that means. Are you born again? They don't understand. You're rejuvenated? You drink Snapple? I don't know. Okay, here it is. Okay, there's the question. Okay, next verse. And again. Okay, so we're making a statement. And there's the verse, 3:23. You can use Revelation. You can skip here and there. But if you skip around in your presentation, you're losing them. Way over here. Look at that verse. And way over here. And you can use 10, 20 verses. But if you use the four essential verses and you say, could I show you the four things? Okay, let me see if it takes a couple minutes on each one. It's 8, 4 times 2. Yeah, okay. But if you say, can I show you the 17 things? They're not going to let you. Keep it simple. Don't complicate it. All right, next. So the illustration, the video illustration. Very important. I don't know where we got it, but we've used it for years. Instead of quizzing the person and saying, we've all sinned. Have you? Have you lied? Have you killed? Have you stolen? You know, we're not a judge putting them on the hot seat. That's God's job to convict. So this video camera illustration, it is putting the fear of God, it is spotlighting their sins. That's why this illustration is so important. So I'll always hold my hand up. If God took a video camera, videoed your whole life. Now, depending on who they are, I'll try to figure out what their sins are. If it's a young adult, I'll say, if he videoed every dance, every date, every text, every place, every thought, every word, every motive, every day at school, every day at work, if he took your whole life and put it on nationwide TV tonight for your mother to see, you know what they're thinking now? They're thinking of all these things they've done that no one knows about. God is now convicting them. And, oh, I'd be ashamed if my mom saw that. Oh, and I'd be ashamed, Pastor, if you saw it. I'd be ashamed if God saw it. But what if he put it on and everyone saw it? I've had people start crying right then and say, he wouldn't, would he? And then I say, he is. Anyway, but what is that? Conviction. Only sinners get saved. Good people don't get saved, just sinners. And so that's the illustration. And so someone says, well, how do you make them know they're a sinner? That does it right there. Video, if they've still never, I've had a couple of people say, you can put my whole life on nationwide TV. I wouldn't be ashamed of a thing. I just shake their hand and say, I've always wanted to meet you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Number two, second verse, 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Now again, under that, you want to, it says two deaths, you have to explain it. We've heard this so much, it's easy to say, look, here it is, the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? The wages of sin is death. We must explain, it's two deaths. The moment we die, we're all going to die. Die forgiven, go to heaven. Die unforgiven, we go to hell. Have to explain it. So don't rush through that. Two deaths. You don't have to turn to Revelation, show them four more verses. You just explain it. Now, stop for a moment. Why would we not keep flipping back and showing dozens of verses? Here's why. If they do not trust what you're saying, and you have to show them dozens of verses, they don't believe what you're saying anyway. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said, we know that thou art a master. You're a teacher come from God, for no man doeth these things. Why did Nicodemus come to him? Because he knew that Jesus had something to teach him. The moment someone starts arguing, and well, what about that? And I don't think you're right here. You're not going to win that person to Christ right then. Because now they think they know more than you. But most people are going to say, I don't know anything about the Bible. Show me. The neighbor tonight, I just went through, he didn't have one question, just went through the gospel, and he said, I'm ready to get saved. So that's all we're doing. We're teaching them how to get saved. So first verse, help me here, Romans 3:23. Illustration is the, what camera? The video camera. Second verse, 6:23, we're explaining the two deaths. Then the rest of the verse, but the gift of God is eternal life. And the little illustration, the ink pen. Someone says, well, Pastor, I witness to people, and then they end up saying, I do this every day. I ask Jesus in my heart every day. I get saved every day. How do you take care of that? The ink pen. The ink pen illustration. All you're doing, you're teaching, and it shoots down good works. That's all it does. And we'll maybe do a demonstration, but I'll do it this way. I'll say something like, I'll say, well, here it is. The Bible says heaven is a gift. The gift of God. If I put that pen right there and I gave you this ink pen, and if I said, this is a free gift, me to you, no strings attached, it's yours. Now here's the application. That would be a free gift. But it would not be your gift until the exact moment you decide to take it. Same thing with Jesus. He must come into our heart one time. That means it's not how good you are. You've just shot down anything they could do, any good works. You could drive our church bus. You could pastor the church. You could give all your money to the poor. None of that will get you to heaven. It's only, visual again, through Jesus. There it is right there. So you're not arguing anymore. All right, I'm losing you. All right, two funny stories. I'm going to stand on my head. Here we go. Third verse, Jesus, but God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, explain it. The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. Us which are saved, it's the power of God. Take your time on the cross. Four Gospels, Jesus goes into detail. Acts, he goes into detail. 1 Corinthians goes into detail. It must be important. We've said it before. I remember when that movie came out. I didn't go see it. Some of you rented it. Maybe you saw it. The Passion of the Christ. It was all in Latin. The detailed movie, the Mel Gibson money-making man, made that to depict the details of the cross. They showed it on the news. They said, people leaving theater, sobbing and weeping and all torn up. How come? Because for the first time, a movie showed all the details of the sufferings of Christ. So how's someone going to know where to detail it to them? So when we witness, don't just say, the third point is, Jesus died for you. And the fourth point, spend some time on it. Now, you don't have to be 15 minutes, but they ought to know he was nailed to the cross, he was spit upon, his beard was plucked, his back was beaten, the crown of thorns, the jeering mob, God putting the sins of the world on him, he suffered our hell for us, then get him up out of the grave. A dead Jesus saves nobody, but one that died and rose from the dead is the Savior. I've had people literally say, you know, don't think me dumb. I've seen Santa. I've seen the Easter Bunny my whole life in Napa. I never one time knew Jesus died on the cross or rose for me. You don't have to go to a foreign field to give the gospel. Many have just never heard it clear. We're just putting the light on it. So go into the details of it. If the person cries, that's usually when they'll start weeping. Why? Because now you're saying that if you were the only sinner in the world, he would have done that just for you. He loves you. So soul winning is not just hanging them over hell. It's letting them know that God loved them, and that's what the gospel is. So at that point, next, you say, well, what do we do now? We believe the same. I believe just like you. Now you review it. I've sinned. Me too. Without Jesus, can't go to heaven. Me too. Jesus loved me, died for me, died for you too. But there's one difference, and here it is. If I died this moment, this book says I'd go straight up. And here's why. Next, I think it says, give you a simple testimony now. This is what makes soul winning so special. It's not just a presentation. Now you're talking about your story. Your testimony is not what the devil did to you. It's what God did for you. So we don't talk about sin. Well, I was in jail 10 years. I stabbed 48 people last week. And I got saved. No. Don't give the devil advertisement. A testimony is you're just saying, here's where I was, when it was, about what time it was, when I received that gift. Paint it big. Why? Because they've asked God for help many times. And many of the people you'll witness to, they'll say, oh, I've asked Jesus in my heart thousands of times. Okay, who would maybe say, before you really understood being saved, at some time you said, God, come in my heart, don't let me go to hell. I mean, at some time you probably said some prayer like that. Yeah. Didn't mean we got saved. You don't get saved till you hear the God. You have to hear it. Okay? Simple testimony. Number next. Then the bridge illustration. All right? Let's just run through this, the bridge here. And here we go. Let's find the bridge illustration. It's coming. All right, here we go. Well, that's good. All right, good. Now, that is usually where I'll put the bridge. I'll always put the bridge right after the testimony. So I'll give my testimony, then I'll say, there's one picture I have. Let me show it, and I'm done. Now, here's how I usually do it. I'll have my pen with me. I'll face our track, and I'll point. If you have the new soul winning New Testament with it in the back, you could use that one. But I'll just point right here. So here's how I explain it. When you're here on big days, you'll kind of see this. I'll say, I've got a picture of you, and I'm pointing. I'll say, there's God over there, and there's you and I right there. First time we ever sinned, our sin separated us from God. That's the empty spot we have in our heart. Now, when you're saying that word empty spot, they're thinking they're drugs, they're alcohol, they're money, their relationships, the gang they're in, or whatever. They're thinking of all these things they're trying to fill that empty spot with. Look, if we got what we deserve, we'd go to hell. Keep going. We all try to build our own bridges to heaven, but look, our bridges are too short. We can do nothing to earn heaven. But look, good news, the last one. The third one. The bridge is already built. When Jesus died, his love and his blood built a bridge from heaven all the way to your front door. But just because the bridge is there doesn't put you across. You must decide to cross. You must believe he died for you and then receive him, again I'm saying, one time into your heart. Then I'll give my testimony again. I'll point to the first picture. I'll say it was February 23rd, 1970. Second picture, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Third picture, Monday morning about 7 o'clock. This was me headed down. Then I crossed that bridge. Has that happened to you yet? Something that big, you'd remember the time, the place, and the day. So, again, we're trying to get them lost, not saved. So the gentleman across the street says, that happened yet? Not, well, right now. Okay, but never before, right now. No. Then I'll point to the third picture. I'll say, thank you for your honesty. I'll point and say, you're in the same shoes I was in. Now I'm identifying with them 45 years ago. Love God, love my family, love my friends, but I'd never crossed over. No one had ever explained it to me. So that means if you were to die right here, now I'm describing them, wrong side of the bridge, unforgiven, and if you had to pay for all of your sins right now, where does the Bible say you would go? 99.9999% of the time they'll say, I'd have to go to hell. Now, are they ready to be saved now? Yes. But not before. So we don't pray with them. We don't lead them in the sinner's prayer until they're lost. Follow me? Okay. Who's ever flown on a plane before? You've flown on a plane? Can you imagine? Brother Jones, you fly a lot. You're just taking up. You're heading toward Alabama. You're up about 10, 15,000 feet. The stewardess comes by and says, here, put this on. Hands you a 50-pound parachute and sets it in your lap and says, put this, what? I guarantee you, you wouldn't put it on. You say, what? Why do I have to put one on? We want you to put this on. It's going to wrinkle my suit and got my laptop. And no one wants to put a parachute on. But when that plane starts losing altitude and the engine's on fire and they're passing those out, people, hey, give me one. Hey, I need one. Only a lost person wants that parachute. So that's why some people never want to pray to accept the Lord, because they do not believe they're lost yet. Well, how come so-and-so won't get saved? They don't believe they're lost yet. Once a house is on fire, their clothes are on fire, and the fireman's got the little net out there, they're ready to jump. And the soul winner's just giving them a gentle shove. Oh, excuse me. We knew you need just a little encouragement to jump. Okay. All right, let's talk about drawing the net for just a moment. We'll go through the whole demonstration next week. Give me a center here. Center. Isn't that funny? They're all pointing at each other. None of them are centers. They're just pointing at the other guy here. And let me see. Let me get a center. Joseph, why don't you come up? You probably sin more than all of us here. Here. No, I'm just kidding. Just right up here. Okay? So, fishermen here, anybody like to fish? A few like to eat fish? Like to look at fish and like aquariums? Look in the well, wonder where the goldfish used to be that's in the church well? And so here it is. One of the most tense times, if you're in a boat, is when you're bringing a nice fish in, and now it's You know, do I pull him up? Maybe he's going to fall off the hook. Or do I net him? And it's, who's ever lost a nice fish at the boat? Because either you didn't pull, or someone was helping you and knocked the thing off. It's called drawing the net. And so what do you do? Okay, finally the person says, yes, I'd like to get saved. So how do we help them pray that prayer? Okay, just tips, and then we'll be out of here. I hope this has been practical here tonight. So the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joseph, you believe the Lord would save you if you asked him to? Since he's a gift, how many times would you have to ask him? Okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a prayer for you. Now, I cannot forgive your sins because I'm a sinner too. But the one who can is probably standing right here. I said that last year. I said, the one who can is probably standing right here, and the guy did this. And I said, I don't see him either, but I bet he's right there. And I said, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to have a prayer. Now I'm painting the whole decision they're making. If you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, paid for your sins, and you would like him to put you across the bridge, you'd like him to start building your mansion, come inside of your heart, save you from hell, and you believe that he will, if that's what you want, I'm going to pray. Would you let him know that by simply putting your hand right here on the Bible? Dear Jesus, now watch my eyes, okay? If you really want him to do that, now my eyes are off of him. If you'd like him to do that, I want you to just take. Now, why are my eyes off of him? Because I'm making it so it's not tense. Can you imagine Sunday morning if we say, if you're not saved, hey, everybody look up here. If you're not saved, raise your hand right now and look at me. That's kind of tense. I don't know if anybody ever raised their hand. So someone years ago came up with this thing, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You know, when your eyes are closed, we go back to being a little kid, we think, no one can see me. You can't see me. But people are very much at ease to raise their hand if the eyes are closed. So that's why you take your eyes off of them. So it's not tense. So if you would like to receive him as Savior, and then I'll always make that big swing with my hand. It's a dramatic thing. I don't just... It's because they're getting the idea. Man, I'm supposed to put my hand on that Bible. So simply just put your hand right there. Now don't talk him out of it. Don't look at him and say, now you got to really mean this. Look, he already said, I'm going to hell. I want to get saved. Let him get saved. Just put your hand right there. Dear Jesus, hear my prayer and see Joseph's heart this moment. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you would like to accept him, would you simply pray this prayer from your heart out loud after me? Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Now, what if he doesn't pray? He didn't hear you. Okay? This time don't pray. Dear Jesus. I said, dear Jesus. Just after me, out loud. Here we go now. Dear Jesus.
Go ahead. Dear Jesus.
Okay. See? He's thinking, out loud? Me? Now? Oh, me? Yeah, you're the only one here. Carl Hatch used to do this. He'd grab him by the shoulder. Dear Jesus. He'd squeeze her shoulder. Dear Jesus. Spanish. Por favor, Jesus. I don't know. You're just encouraging them to do. Now stop here for a moment. So you say, well, when did they get saved? We don't know if anybody got saved. I know I'm saved. But here's a guy who said, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me. I'd like to invite him in my heart. It kind of seems like he's getting saved. But when did he get saved? Probably about the second I said, if you're trusting him as Savior, would you put your hand right? Probably about right there. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So even before he ever put a hand, even before he said a word, he was trusting Jesus as his Savior. So why do we pray the prayer? So they'll have assurance, something to look back to and say, I remember asking him. Try doing a wedding that way. Do you? Now we're not going to say it out loud. We never really said it. It's good we say it so people remember, you said I do. Okay, so here we go. Amen. And then I'll always look at them, and we'll talk about assurance maybe next week, but I'll just say, wow. If you're not excited, they're not going to be excited. They have no idea how big a thing just happened. Thank you very much. Give them a hand. Okay. Now let me say this before we go. We got about 2 or 3 minutes, and discipleships will be coming out. Practice makes better. There's no wrong way of leading a soul to Christ. Anything is better than nothing. You say, well, man, I think I hadn't won anybody, you know, the way you're explaining it. And, man, I just kind of rushed people. Hey, but they got a track, and they heard your testimony. You're not going to send them to hell number two or hell number three. You do what you can. Woman at the well never was trained. Carl Hatz got saved, could barely read. He thought if you just said the sinner's prayer, you're saved. He stuck his finger in Romans 10:13. He said, hey, did you hear about Rome? Rome 10:13. Rome, he called it. He won about half of his company to the Lord that first week. Probably just had him just pray, but he got better at it. You're all right. Practice makes better. You say, well, when do you get the words down? When you win about 10, 20, 30,000 people to the Lord, it's just going to start flowing. You're just going to love it. Well, who you practice on? Sinners. You don't need to get your husband, wife, and kids. All right, we're going to practice me winning you. Yeah, no, no. Practice on the neighbor. Practice on. You can just practice on anybody. It'd be a wonderful thing. Let's use what we know. We have a great soul-winning church. I guarantee you, I don't know of any church that's as soul-conscious as our church. Probably just about every day during the week, there's someone being saved in the area. Hey, I won someone at school, won someone at work, won a neighbor. Let's just stay after it. Maybe you've been away from it for a while. Let's jump right back in. Carry tracks. Let's be soul conscious. We have a big day coming up. Open season on sinners. You don't even need a license. We've already got a command, the Great Commission. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you help us get better at this of just presenting the gospel